I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love.
And love to hate.
All things fashion. Fashion. Fashion.
Hey. Hi, friends. We're back again.
Yes.
We're
Fashion Hags
back again.
Fashion Hags podcast.
Maybe we need to get in here.
Sorry, Michelle. Fashion. We got a new theme. It goes a root doot dita a doo 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 doo. It's not good. It still needs some workshopping, I think.
What are they called?
Scratch track. So like when you record and then before you actually record. It's a thing where you go into a workshopping, like a writing workshop, and they're like, give me 20 of this funny thing.
Yes.
And you come up with a root doot dita a doo doo doo.
That's number 12. Yeah.
A little vaudeville
You're
number.
Like, we're not quite there yet, but we're gonna push through.
And we'll get there in the end.
We'll just discard everything that we've done up to 13.
Yes, absolutely.
That was it. Oh, anyway, guys, man. This is Fashion Hags Podcast.
Yeah.
Woo! We're back. Fashion Hags Podcast hiatus is over.
Yes, we're back. We're recording.
Thank you, everyone. We got a real nice shout out this week. Oh, just I guess our timeline is a little bit wackadoo. Mm. We just recorded 2 days ago, so we're in the time.
We're kind of banking some episodes because Mr. Ducharme's going out of town again sometime soon and trying to get back on track.
I am going to be a traveling businesswoman.
Yes, an important business lady.
So we're away on business.
Yeah, we're
taking care of a business.
Yes.
So if something happens in the 2 weeks between our last episode being put out and this one that you're listening to right now, we didn't know. No. I'm sorry. We didn't know.
We haven't gotten there yet, man.
We're in the time machine.
But time is a flat circle, yada, yada, yada. But we're not there yet.
We got a really nice shout out from The Standard in the UK, which was really nice. So thank you so much.
The Evening Standard.
Including us in a list of podcasts to listen to.
Nice.
With the big hitters like Man Repeller and, you know.
Yes, and the Vogue podcast.
Girl like Boss and a bunch of shit.
That hoe. That bitch.
That thought.
That hoe over there.
Yeah. I was gonna say, isn't that like ATM machine that's like salsa sauce? Like
you're, yeah.
That thought over there.
I'll take that company. That company is fine with me.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
It's like saying Inuit people.
Yeah.
Inuit.
Means people.
Means people.
Means people.
In their language. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little PSA.
Although, if you are reading that article, they did say something, which I'm sure they just got their hyphens crossed.
Sure. But we got our hackles raised.
I mean, it's fine. We're happy to have the shout out, but they mentioned that we were non-industry experts, when in fact, we are industry non-experts. So, I mean, don't quote us on any of this bullshit, but thank you for listening and thank you for joining us. And thank you so much for the shout out. We really do appreciate it, but... switch your hyphen over and run.
Yeah.
Bang on.
We are 100%.
We're going to tip that last 1% over to 100.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're keeping it 100 to keep it 100.
Yes.
To get it to 100.
What's new? What's going on? Evan, what's up? What's what? You got a nice monochrome.
He was monochrome last time. No, you had black and green.
I had black
time,
and green.
And now you're all.
Time.
You got a monochrome.
I'm always in a nature palette.
Natural. Mm-hmm. We're moving away from the black, which is good because you were so black.
Oh, today was too bloody fucking hot.
All of a sudden, black. In the middle of out of nowhere, it was like 30 degrees here, which is like 100 degrees or something. Like it was just boom. There's so much sweat under my boots
and
right now. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
Sticky.
I had some errands to run, and I was like, well, it's kind of hot out, so I'll wear a pair of shorts, which, I mean, I don't really do that often. But I was like, to balance out, I'll wear a black shirt. Huge mistake!
Never.
Don't wear a black shirt. Are you insane? Mistake. It's crazy.
Anything covering your armpit? Absolutely not.
Unless you're only wearing a black shirt, forget it.
Yeah.
You don't want that shit.
Need a little ventilation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway. I've been sitting in my studio sweating my tits off next to the iron. In preparation for
the hot steam iron.
Yep. But going back in the time machine a little bit, back in time.
Back in time. Because we're talking forward in time, but we're going back in time.
We're going to turn back time.
We're going
to talk about an other diva.
We're going to find a way.
I had the singular and esteemed pleasure to witness Miss Eileen Twain live in concert. At Rogers Arena in Vancouver, British Columbia, unceded Coast Salish territories.
Fantastic. Oh, shit. I think we mentioned this
briefly in your dad's episode.
Briefly.
Very briefly.
But I think we mentioned
maybe
it also.
We might have mentioned it.
Like when the tickets were purchased.
Yeah, when you bought the tickets months ago.
Yes.
Do tell. And now it's here.
Do tell.
Now it's gone, but also here.
It's been and gone. I want to hear all the details. First, we, in fact, stopped you from talking about this before because we're like, save it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I want all those juicy details. Please go.
First things first. Thank you to Ashley for buying me these tickets for my birthday.
Oh, I didn't know it was a birthday.
It was a lovely, lovely birthday.
Perfect gift.
She's the best.
Like, thoughtful, like, lovely literally gift. The best.
Yes.
So, of course, me and Ashley, two country gals. We
Ashley's
love a country
outfit
moment.
Was amazing.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the outfit. First things first, the
your
outfits.
Outfit was not slash other, but Ashley had a little.
Ashley was wearing like a little like cowgirl. Pale blue cowgirl with white fringe and like embroidery situation.
She's an Edmontonian, yes?
Yeah, she's an Alberta girl.
Yeah. And it was like sleeveless mini top, like a cropped jean jacket
with like
style.
The yokes and like the whole Western, all the Western lines.
But like cute.
Yeah. And like a light tan cowboy boot.
Boot, yes.
So great.
Like perfect, like 60s bombshell babe hair, red lip, gorgeous. And then I did a play on the men, like the backup dancers' outfits from the Man I Feel Like a Woman.
Yes.
Music video.
Yes, you did.
So it's like a long sleeve, high neck, like maroon red t-shirt. So it's completely see-through with like high-waisted black shiny leather pants, like 100% real leather pants.
So good.
I was feeling my fantasy. Me and Ashley look so cute. Everyone, like all of the normies, like all the Bridge and Tunnel Zone 3 people were like giving us a good look, giving us a good long stare.
Yeah. Coming to the city.
Which is what you want. That's what you want when you go out on the nines.
We had
you
fabulous seats. We had fabulous seats. We were like just a bit higher than where the boards would be if like, because it's in a hockey arena, so kind of think about that for listeners who are familiar with
that sport.
Yeah, with that, with that.
How that works.
It's called hockey stick match. You've heard of it.
But like about 45 seconds into the show, like the show starts, obviously the lights go down and everyone's on their feet screaming. The band starts, the lights, the whole nine yards. Like Shania makes her entrance. Shania enters through the crowd with no less than 10 security guards.
Oh, shit.
She just walks like our section, it was the walkway to the far left of us, and she walked down through this like through the general admission like floor seats, and then up the stairs and onto the stage and starts the show.
Wow!
So at that point, the whole fucking stadium's on
loses
their feet,
their mind.
Losing their mind. She's taking selfies on the way down. It takes her like a good like 5 minutes to get to the stage. She's just like reveling in it, you know, and like. As this is happening, like the band is just playing like the first few like notes of that song, so you know what the first
which song? Which song?
It's I'm gonna get you good.
Ooh, yep.
I think it was I'm gonna get you good. I'd have to go back. I'm confusing the Live in Vegas set list with the this tour set list.
I'm gonna get you
because I'm that
of
kind
time.
Of fan.
Yeah. I'm gonna get you.
And it's like ding,
something else. I used to know all the
did that for like 5 minutes. But about 45 seconds into the show, there were some folks behind us and I get a tap on the shoulder being like, sit down, like this super angry old white dude, red faced. And I was like, look around. Like if we sit down, we won't be able to see. So maybe
the people
like,
in front of us are standing.
Everyone behind you and everyone in front of you and to the left and the right of you
is
are on
standing.
Their feet. Because guess what, bitch?
It's
Shania Twain
is
on stage right now. Yeah. So we better get on your fucking feet.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about your sciatica or whatever the fuck is going on. So I was like, he probably didn't even hear what he said, but he grabbed me by the shoulder.
He touched you?
Yeah. He grabbed me by the shoulders and tried to like force me down.
You?
Like pretty roughly.
Who is this bitch?
And I think because he's like this big old white guy, he thought he was going to be able to like
just throw you around.
Me.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like an ant. So like I can kind of like hold my own.
Oh,
and I didn't budge.
God.
Oh, fuck no.
So then I grabbed the arm and I freaked out and was like, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah.
Like, don't touch me. How dare you?
We're 30 seconds into the concert, asshole. Like,
Ashley,
come on.
Ashley was like in the concert. Like, Ashley didn't know this was going on.
For sure.
Everyone was in it.
She's got her eye on the stage.
Oh, yes.
She can't take her eyes off Eileen.
Like, all the
everybody
like 2,000 people.
You and that asshole.
Yeah. So she sees me, like, she hears me saying, don't touch me. And Ashley whips around.
Ooh. Yes.
Mama Bear. You poked Mama Bear and Mama Bear.
She's got her finger
action.
Out.
She had her red manicured finger out. She scared the shit out of this guy. She waved security over. Security come, or the usher comes down. The usher goes to get security. Security takes this dude out, talks to him for like probably half, like 20 minutes.
Sure.
Almost half an hour.
Oh my God.
And then the security comes back, asks us if it's okay if he comes back in, and if he does anything, he'll be thrown out. Because great. No one, like, security didn't see what happened. So
right.
I feel like if they would, honestly, if they would have seen what he did, they probably would have just tossed him out of the arena.
Right.
But I mean, like, old white guy to old white guy is probably, there's like that.
You know what? That's fine. Because yeah. if the second that old white guy is like, bitch, you can be like, bitch, yeah. get this bitch yeah. out of here.
Get the fuck out.
You got security on your side. Yeah. You're golden.
And yeah. that's very generous and magnanimous of you to let him also continue to enjoy the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I mean, we're all Shania fans.
Exactly.
You didn't like burst into tears and be like, no,
oh my God,
she's mine,
no.
you can't have her.
Are you kidding me? I'm seeing Shania Twain, the diva herself, in
yes.
front of me.
Yes.
Nothing like, could ruin that moment.
Exactly.
As long as I don't have to keep talking to you, I'm so going to...
As long as we yeah. can have this wrapped up and yeah. not fucking drag on.
Yeah.
And we can fine. Continue with our evening.
So you
I'm
bet
still going to talk yeah, about you on
yeah.
my podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm still going to talk shit. Like, do you know who I am?
To the day you die. Absolutely.
So you
he's a big yeah. listener. And you know what? We're not sorry.
Oh, you bet your boots I shook my gay ass in those other pants all fucking night.
Damn.
After that straight. Bullshit. Like, I'm sure if I was like some big burly cowboy dude, it wouldn't right. have been a problem.
Oh, of course right, not. He thought he could.
Yeah. He thought he could get one
push
over
around. Around,
on.
Yeah. Oh,
excuse me.
Hell no.
How dare you?
I love Ashley just raising her.
Oh, God. Ashley, like, me, like, it was like two fashion girls. Like, how dare you?
I love it.
And then the woman next to us was just like, the girl next to me was like aghast and was like looking at the whole thing, like, so, like, shocked.
She can't figure out what's happening because it's so crazy.
Like, yeah.
I love that so much.
Yeah. So, like, she was like, the girl next to me was a good partner to have for the night.
There you go.
Me and her and Ashley all like danced together. Like, we were like the youngest people in our row. Like,
dude, if I was yeah. in the row beside you and I didn't know who you were, that shit would have pumped me up
yeah.
so much. That would have yeah. made my night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, that 100%. That would have been a game changer night for
yeah.
me.
I'm like, who would have thought I would have gotten into a fight at Shania Twain?
I know. Come on.
Of all things.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in the fucking pit at Lady Gaga surrounded by 30 other homos, shit faced. Sure. And no one's throwing any punches.
No, homos don't throw punches.
Well, we do, but...
You unless know. You're closeted, and then you're a white
then you got
mad
a lot to be, you got a lot to be angry about.
You're a mad white dude in your 60s at a Shania show, and you got a gay boy dance in front of you.
In a red mesh tank.
All you want to do is to be wearing a red mesh tank top, and you can't do it.
No.
You know, now I just feel bad for him, because he's not allowed to wave his little flag the way he wants to.
No, maybe not.
But also, don't be a dick at a Shania show.
Okay, now, the costumes.
So, regardless.
Yeah, okay,
she changed six times.
Excellent. How many of them were leopard print? Was there only one leopard
print? There
were
two.
Okay.
There was like a cerulean blue and black and silver sequin leopard print. And then there was like the true like goldy, like gold tones.
Head to toe.
Like brown. Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then like all of, everything had a train. Never not a train.
Her clothes are horrendous.
They're
just
tragic. Horrific.
Her and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, Christina's getting better, but they have all the money.
Their stage
and
costumes,
all
yeah. Katie, you can throw Katy Perry in there too with her stage costumes. They're pretty whack.
Yeah, but I was like, you just
have
bad
taste. One time out of ten, I'm going to put it up there. Something that's
and I know it's
fun.
I know it's totally subjective, yeah. but you got bad.
Well, Mark Bauer does her costume, so there we go.
Well, there you go. It's a bit dated then. You're not really dealing with the most...
No.
Up to date, cutting edge, interesting things.
But now I
mean, Mark Bauer
is
the one who created all those iconic looks in the 90s.
In the first place.
Were great.
Yes, absolutely. But it's been,
I mean,
been
five,
a good
years.
5 years. Yeah. yeah.
And he's still doing the same stuff.
But I'm it's sure just they're... like, there was this one, the one section that really gagged me was like, this bitch starts this set. She's sitting on top of a guitar case. Like a guitar case is like open and she's sitting in
she's
it.
She's sitting on it, yeah.
And then this thing proceeds to fly. Through the arena, about a good 30 feet
above everybody.
And she's wearing like a black sequin thing with a gigantic train. This train must have been like, fuck, like
10 feet long.
10 feet long. Because it was like hanging down.
Sure.
Right below the
below the seat. And she's just playing guitar and singing, like sitting on, like flying through the air on this.
No big deal.
On this fucking guitar case.
No biggie.
And she does You're Still the One up there. She does like one of her new songs from her album that I don't know. Oh my God, this bitch. And then this is like what takes her to the B stage, like the stage
on
the other side.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she's there for a bit.
She does a whole thing.
She does a couple songs there. And then she gets two like hot gays from the audience, because you know she can pick two hot gays from the audience anywhere in the world.
Right.
She like they plan that into the show.
Yeah.
So she's like, I need two big men to help me across the arena back to the stage. And then she just walks across the arena for like 5 minutes, taking selfies and signing autographs
and
like saying hi to the fans and chatting and like.
What was the highlight?
Holy shit, that was fantastic.
Like, show wise. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was like.
Had a bunch of screens.
It was like five cubes. So they all started out, it looked like one big long thing. But as the show changed or progressed, they would go into like a ladder formation, like a step formation. They would go into like, they'd all go into the middle and they'd turn into this like pyramid-y type thing, or like they'd just shift up and down, or one would be up here and all the rest of them would be down at the bottom.
Wow.
The drum kit would be on top of here, and then like the whole band would be like on it, and it would be
Holy
in like this
cow.
Weird V, or it would all be up in the air and everyone would be on there for the whole number. Like it was like, people were like fucking flying around that stage.
Cool.
Like, it was like a super physical show.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but just like hearing all these songs was just so good.
I love it. She's like not a dancer. She's not.
I mean, there was a bit of choreo, but that it's like.
Sure.
But it's like a tippy tap choreo. Here and there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Mariah step ball.
It's like a Mariah.
I would say it's a bit. It's a
More
step above
Mariah.
Yeah. And like a few notches below like Beyonce and Gaga. Like way down.
Way
and
down.
A few notches above Mariah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But closer to Mariah.
Closer to Mariah.
Closer to Mariah, yeah. Pink just came in. Pink show was like last year.
It was a couple nights ago, yeah.
And it was like the high wire.
Oh, because she loves it flying around
through
shit
there.
Too,
I guess it was an amazing show as well. Did not go, obviously.
No. The ticket for like $400 or some shit.
Yeah, who would have bought this shit?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. But Miss Shania Twain is like on her world tour, kicking asses, taking names, collecting checks.
Album.
She's 52.
Yeah.
And she's still in those, like,
fucking great.
Those cat suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little corset moment. Yeah. Couple evening gowns.
Big hair.
Big hair. Big sequin.
Big eyelashes.
Big lash.
The bigger the hair, the closer to God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. She is the queen of country pop.
Oh, man. Well, I'm so happy you got to go.
Taylor Swift, who?
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood, who?
Yeah. You wish.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you got to go see that show and with former guest Ashley. It was just a dream. We just love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We got shit faced.
Nice. Even better.
As you
so
do
when
you go to see an icon.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
we've seen Bette Midler together. We've seen Dolly Parton together.
You've seen Bette Midler?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We bought the tickets on a whim. We were like two rows from the highest.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Nosebleeds.
But I mean, we were there for like the Hocus Pocus number and the Rose and like...
Oh, the Rose. I've been listening to a couple days ago was... The I Divine guess yesterday Divine. Was Mother's Day. And so I had seen my mom the night before. As again, we're in the time capsule.
Sure.
So my mom was just here when my dad was on the podcast last week. Anyway, so anytime it's like Mother's Day or birthday or like... just a day where you want to like hang out with your mom. I put on, there's like a handful of records that were my mom's records.
Mm.
And the Divine Miss M was one of them. I was like, well, the M has got to stand for mom because this is like the mom record.
Yeah.
God damn, so good. The Rose, so fucking good. Mm-hmm. Bette Midler's the best.
Oh, yeah. And that show was fucking crazy too.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Was that at the arena too? Was that a big show or was that?
Yeah, they were both at Rogers.
Yeah.
Dolly,
the big
and
hockey
Bette.
Rink. Yeah.
Awesome. Perfection.
Fantastic.
I need Miss Cher to go on her sixth
tour. Her sixth
farewell
goodbye
tour.
Her sixth
tour.
The Never Again Tour, version 3.
JK.
The Cherwell Tour.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't done that one yet.
Abby, what's what?
I went to a very different kind of show last Friday. Former podcast guest Alicia Tobin has a show that she designed called Come Draw With Me.
I thought that was done. I thought that show was
It came back.
It's being remounted.
They just a one-off now, but she's thinking about bringing it back maybe every few months or something. Maybe she'll have to see. And it comes from, it's like the sweetest, nicest, funniest show. And it doesn't sound like much, but it is so captivating and interesting, and like you, the point is to connect with people.
You and I have gone to that show.
Yes. Yeah. And it used to be one of my favorite venues in the city, Hot Art Wet City, that our friend Chris used to run with his wife, Erin. And a former podcast guest, Erin Gibbs, as well.
Yeah, that's right.
She helped Chris with the, and Chris is an artist and a, ran this, it was a gallery, but then at night they would do comedy shows, which was a great combo because he could sell art during the day and then make his rent by having sold the comedy shows as many nights a week as he wanted. Mm-hmm. It could be 7 nights a week. I think he ended up doing maybe 3 or 4 nights a week, just depending on what was available. But you would go, you would get a piece of paper and marker. And at the beginning of the show, Alicia goes up, gives you the spiel of like, this is what's going to happen. We're going to draw. We're going to talk about your drawings. There's going to be stand-up comedians in the second half. And she gives you a topic. Most of the time, it's usually an animal wearing, doing, being, whatever, some sort of.
I think when we went, it was your favorite animal eating your favorite food.
Yes. Or in your favorite vehicle, or in your favorite, like this one was in your favorite summer outfit. And then also eating one of your favorite summer treats.
Perfect.
So like it's wide open, and by no means are you expected to be able to draw by any means. Like the best ones are the ones that people like can barely put a stick figure together.
Right.
And all the people who are like professional illustrators,
just Alicia harasses made fun them. Of. Yeah. It's the best,
but in the nicest way.
Yeah,
like, and especially if it's people she knows, like Alicia will just pull it up and look at it, and then just crumple it and throw it away. Yeah, didn't say anything. But then she can tell if it's something someone who doesn't draw very often or just doodles or you know whatever. She'll genuinely make you feel good about it and let you talk about it. So everybody draws, they put on music. Sometimes they had live music come in for, I don't know, 10 minutes or something. And you sit and you talk to your neighbors and you change markers or whatever. And you talk about it and you draw whatever. You hand them all in. And Alicia goes up on stage and one by one, she goes through all the pictures. And they're just on like regular paper. She holds them up and she says, who drew this? And I say, Katie, it's an orangutan wearing a ski helmet or whatever. And what do you like about orangutans? And, you know, she'll ask you sometimes obvious questions and sometimes the conversation goes weird. And you only have to talk for 3 minutes or something and it's no big deal. And it's no microphones. You stay in your seat. She's up on stage. Everybody listens to each other. There's no talking over each other. Like, it's so polite and nice. Sometimes you get some rowdy drunk people who don't know what they're doing and then we all hate them.
That never lasts that long.
Many times. Yeah. You're going to a lot of these shows.
Alicia's pretty good at just like, next.
Yeah. Or we're not talking to you right now.
Yeah.
But in a nice way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being like, I'm talking to this person right now. Can you shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
And there's a little intermission too. And then at the end, there's 3 stand-ups. And then she'll do a few drawings in between because she goes through everybody's drawing. So these shows have to be very intimate because it's in a room where like, if you can't have 100 people because she's not going to be able to get through all the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have maximum like 50 people. And then it also has to be a small room because you're talking to each other and there's no microphones. Mm-hmm. Or Alicia has a microphone on stage, but you don't have a microphone and everybody wants to hear what you have to say about your drawing, mm-hmm. right? So it's a very intimate and fun show to do. And like your face hurts from smiling the whole time. And the stand-ups were Aaron Reed, who's like a supreme weirdo in the best way. He's so great.
I just saw him open a CD release party for this really great band. If you guys are interested in like nice kind of low-key electronica, Booty EP, go check them out. He opened for a Booty EP at their release party and he was a total
delight. Did he do stand-up?
Delight. No, he was.
Or did he do his music?
Yeah, he did his music.
Because this Aaron, he draws, he illustrates, he does music. He does improv. He does stand up.
He's one of my favorite guests on Stop Podcasting Yourself when he's a guest.
He's an award winning improviser here in Canada. They have one of the best improv shows in the entire country called The Sunday Service. And so Aaron's hilarious. Another girl named Randy Neumeier, who I'd heard on Alicia's podcast from Utah Nightmares, but I'd never actually seen her act. Very funny. I really enjoyed her. And then Charlie Demers, if you've listened to Spy at all.
Oh, he's the best. He's so funny.
And he had shown up with his daughter because she
was this a take your daughter to work day?
Because she had refused to be babysat by her grandfather and was making such a shit show at home that Charlie was like, fuck it, you and Gong Gong, her Chinese grandpa, Gong Gong's coming too. Yes. So there's this like old Chinese man in the back of the room, not knowing what's going on, because it's not his scene. And of course, his daughter went up on stage with him and like ruined his set and like stepped on all his jokes and like made a big deal apparently that she wanted to talk in the microphone and then refused.
Yes, oh my god,
it was it took him so long to get through this one joke because he kept having to stop. Oh my god, it was so funny. And then Charlie had to go on first because he had to hightail it out of there and get his kid to go to bed. His daughter was like four, gonna be four soon.
That is
anyway,
so adorable.
Oh no, she's already four. That's what she is. Anyway, still, it was a very entertaining show, and it was a show I went to like for the longest time after I had my first kid. It was like the only adult, other than you guys.
Yeah,
it was the only adult interaction I got outside of like family members or like other moms at the play gym,
right?
Because it was
not the same level.
It was in our neighborhood. Yeah. Like the location was in our neighborhood. It was all people I knew. I didn't have to buy a ticket in advance because I knew Chris and Aaron. I could just show up.
Perfect.
I threw some money at him.
That's fun.
Every once in a while, I'd buy some art because then Chris would have a cool art show up and I'd buy whatever. So I was like, sorry, Dave, there's going to be a charge on your visa from
Yeah.
Gary. Just a little one.
Just a little guy.
Just a little kitten.
It's just for our friends.
Yeah.
We love
supporting our friends.
Some tchotchke for the mantle.
Yeah, right. Something to take up space and gather dust in our house.
Perfect.
Add to the general splendor.
Exactly. Mm. So that was very excited. And my friend Maddie got to go, who you've met, my friend Madeline, who was very excited because I don't think she got to go either when it was on before, but I always spoke so highly of it. And there were tickets were hard to come by because there's only like, I think the gallery only fit like 40 something people, right? Like it was a tiny little space. So it's nice. And I hope she can get back after like a couple years of not doing it. I hope she can get back on that. A little bit. No pressure, Alicia, if you're listening.
No pressure, Alicia, but your show is really
delightful.
But also,
it's great, and everybody loves it.
It's real sweet.
Yeah. So oh, I was very, it made me very warm and happy inside to go back to that show.
Nice. Good one.
And my favorite summer outfit was my linen overall.
Your navy linen.
That I talked about in the last episode. Perfect. And I was wearing it that night. I did a raccoon because I'd just seen a raccoon that day in the middle of daylight. You don't see it, and you see their weird little roly-poly bodies, like, and their tiny little feet. And so that was fresh in my mind. And then Alicia goes, wait a minute, you're wearing this right now. And made me stand up and like. yes, I am. This is my
full
favorite
full disclosure, yeah.
I'm wearing this right
I'll
now.
I'll be wearing it now until September 15th.
Until it is too cold. Even then, I might put some tights on underneath and
at which point I will put long underwear on.
Yeah. And natural.
Power through. Yeah, power through. So that was me. I was very excited about that. That got to happen.
That's good. That's a good one. Well, because we've had this like brief hiatus and then a whole bunch of shit happened before the hiatus. There's like our schedules just did not line up the way that we were hoping. I went to Los Angeles it feels like 1,000 years ago now.
In California?
In California. Yes. The same one. You've heard of it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it was in March, but it wasn't. It was in April. But I went to California, to Los Angeles, the city of angels, as you are familiar with. And my sister-in-law, Michelle Carter, who does our theme song, michellecartermusic.com, check it out. She had her birthday, so we went out for her birthday. And it was me and the in-laws and my husband, and we had such a great visit. We went to a spectacular show at the Comedy Store, which if you're ever in LA, just...
It's the place
go
to be.
A Comedy Store or go to a comedy show. The Comedy Store on Sunset is a terrific location, but just go find one.
There's a bunch.
And go to it.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Every person that we saw was hilarious. I think we saw 9 comics.
Oh boy, that's a
which was
big bill.
A huge bill, but we were out by like 10 o'clock. Like it was a perfect. Fantastic. It was great.
Did they just do like a quick 5 type deal?
There was like, it was like maybe 2 3s, a 5,
and then
maybe some 7s,
maybe
and then a 20 or something.
2 15s.
The bill doesn't get to the end of the show.
The headliner was David Spade, and he was hilarious. He was not the funniest of the whole night, but he was hilarious. Nikki Glaser was there, and she was fucking hilarious.
Yes, she's fantastic.
There was another lady whose name I can't remember, and I wish I could because she was so fucking funny. She was like 8 months pregnant. I want to say Sarah Pliskonski or like some like Polishy sure, kind Eastern of sounding. European, yeah. There's something weird, some weird combination of a Z and a K and an I or something. She was fucking hilarious. She was 8 months pregnant, just like killing it. Like just you're like, okay, this is funny, and then you're like, oh my god, this is the hardest I've laughed in a long time.
So great.
There's a guy named, his Instagram handle is Cheeto Santino because he's a super redheaded dude. Anthony Santino is his name. And he's on this, I think it's an HBO show called I'm Dying Up Here. And it's about stand-up comedy. He stole the show. He was fucking hilarious. Anyway, great, great show. Yes. It was
beautiful.
Just go see a comedy show. Whenever you can, just go see a comedy show.
And you don't have to know anybody on the bill.
You don't know anyone.
You don't have to know any names. It is all good.
It was great.
There's no guarantees, but.
There's no guarantees, but you're going to laugh regardless. It was great. And anyway, so I have an update as well for my previous obsession. I forget how long ago this obsession started, but it's been a while. But I got my Varney white framed sunglasses.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So initially I had gone, I mean, all over town to find them. I found
Googling
a place.
Like a motherfucker.
I know. Up the street. They could get them in. It was great. Blah, blah, blah. Name the time. We go in. Turns out Varney has, discontinued the white frame in the style that I'm looking for.
Oof.
So I get this email from a man at the place.
This place locally here in Vancouver.
Locally.
That you were so excited about.
I was so excited about. And I get this email like 3 days before we go to LA. And I was like, fuck. Like if they
You're going to California, you're gonna need your cool shades.
But if they're discontinued there, then they're discontinued everywhere.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not like just they can't get them, is it they don't have them.
They're not making them anymore.
Hmm.
So I was real bummed about that. But then turns out LA has a better shopping selection than Vancouver. Uh-huh. Guess
Who
what?
Knew?
Who knew? So we find this place on Venice Beach. It sounds like it's a, you know, some bumfuck whatever store.
Yeah.
Turns out it's like a pretty amazing sunglasses store. Like pick a brand. They probably got it. They had hundreds and hundreds of pairs. So I go in and we had like,
were you just walking by and you done some research?
The family that I married into are not planners.
Okay.
So I was like, here's the thing that I would like
I'm interested
to do.
In.
I am going to go and do this thing. If anyone would like to participate in this neighborhood,
go
then
for
please
it.
Join. And so obviously that's what we did because sure. No one else made any plans.
So they just followed you.
It was great. They just followed me. It was fine. I got to do all the things
Your
I wanted
agenda
to do.
was
perfect. Yeah. Everyone just came with me. It was ideal. So we find this place and I find these glasses, but the lens isn't exactly the one that I want. And I try them on and they're good, but the lens isn't right.
Not perfect. Blah, blah, blah.
They're like this weird pink lens. I was like, I'm not a pink.
Nope.
And so there's another pair of glasses, same shape, but different lens. And I was like, is it possible to like just switch this lens for this one? And the guy's like, yeah, no problem. I was like, well, how long would that take? Like, is this going to take long? He's like, I'm expecting him to say like a week, two weeks.
I'll mail them back to you whenever.
My expectations are supremely low. So I'm like, how long is it going to take? And he's like, oh, like 2-3 minutes. And I was like, do it. So he switches them
out.
You
throw your wallet at him.
I was like,
right
take all of my money.
In his face.
Yay. It was the same amount as I would pay in Canadian dollars for the same pair up here. I got to just like
so that
pick
part,
ones.
Yeah, it was no
pick
biggie.
The thing. So it's great. And then I walked out with my glasses. And I was like, well. I mean, I'm done for LA.
Walking on air.
Everything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
Everything else is gravy.
So I was so happy. Because it's my last chance. It's my last chance to get that pair of dream sunglasses that I've been looking for forever.
Yeah.
So now I have the lens The frame, the color.
Yeah, perfect.
Little case with a little cloth, too. Right. I mean, yeah.
Perfectly in time for the summer.
Yes, excellent timing.
The best.
So, I mean, I'm, like you say, I'm walking on airs. It's been real good. Real nice. Good bonus for old Garnham here.
And you've had not many opportunities to wear them since because the weather's been insane.
It's been, yeah. They're always in my purse.
Yeah.
If I need them,
never
they're
far.
Yeah. Never far. I somehow get really sensitive till I like, I'm one of those like, I'm really sensitive though.
Can I have just, to wear like, sunglasses.
I need them all the time.
Even on overcast days.
I do too.
Yeah. Because yeah. It's so bright.
It's so bright. I'm one of those squares.
Yeah.
So I always.
We get cool shades and you don't feel like such a dick.
Like though. A ding dong. I know. It's great. So that's me. I'm so excited. We had a great visit. We had such a fun time. LA's a cool city. Go fucking do it up.
Check it out. Yeah.
And go to a comedy show and buy your sunglasses because that's.
There you go.
They have
worked
all
for Katie.
There.
Yeah.
They're all there. If you need a pair, they're there somewhere.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah. All good. All good on my end. But we are. Oh, wow. We've been talking a while. So we're back.
We're over time for that, but whatever, man.
Yeah. That's all right.
We got lots to catch up on. That's fine.
So last weekend, last episode, my lovely dad came in and we had a real great chat, but he sort of interrupted, no fault of your own dad, the timing.
When you have a guest land in your lap like that,
I mean, you got to jump on it.
You take it.
But we have not yet finished our round three of our Futures of Fashion segment. I mean,
series.
Trimester.
The third and final part of our Futures of Fashion series.
Yes.
So we've talked about retail. We've talked about production.
Now we're talking about clothes.
Oh, now we're talking about actual clothes themselves and how the future looks for them.
What the hell?
Is it going to be like a weird Fight Club situation where you just get one leather outfit that lasts your whole life? They talk about that in Fight Club.
Yeah.
The book. That's I don't know if they talk about it in the movie, but in the book they talk about it.
No, in the
book. Tyler Durden's like weird like sermons about capitalism and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it's probably not that far off.
Yeah.
If it makes me look good and it's not too hot.
Well, fine.
Is it, yeah, does it adjust to temperature?
Yeah. Or is the world just so fucked that.
That you need to wear a leather outfit the whole time?
That's it. That's all you get. Yeah. And you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
It's weird when you think about the technological implications of fashion, how it's working. And when you look at the specifics of a garment, lots of times what you get faced with is like the Manus Ex Machina. Pardon me if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. I probably am.
I think it was Machina.
Machina, pardon me.
Yeah.
Oh, from the Met.
At the Met Gala.
Three years ago, maybe two years ago.
And like Claire Danes shows up in a really cool gown that lights up in the dark. And you're like, wow, that's cool.
Stunning.
It's the future. But like, what actually does that do?
But
it does nothing.
The entire construction and the fabric and everything that went into that dress is very classic.
It's
all couture techniques. It's all techniques people have been doing for like over 100 years.
Yeah. You just get a battery pack.
Yeah. There's just a battery pack and a couple of
LED
lights.
And slide these LED lights in between the fabric that already exists.
That already exists. Yeah.
I mean, unless they maybe had to specially design the fabric to shine the light, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's probably more to it, but it wasn't that crazy.
But it was, I mean, it looked cool, but it wasn't, in terms of like how technology is advancing fashion, that's not the example you want to run on.
No.
But then you could look on the other side of things and look at something like Iris van Herpen and her cuckoo crazy 3D printed dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that's
laser cut.
That's cool. 3D printed. That's crazy. Like maybe that's the future, but that's also.
Pretty extreme.
Very extreme. And it's very couture, obviously. So it's extremely exclusive.
Yeah.
And it's not wearable for 99% of the time.
And
let alone the people.
I was saying, and the price point of it, too. At this point, it is fucking expensive.
It's wildly expensive. So it's like, well, if these are the two things that we have to go on, like, we got to be able to
do that. Yeah, we got to figure something out.
There's a consumer
in the middle
of this.
You have to think of it, too. Like, just in the last 100 years of clothes, the advancements that have been made. To bring it back to the history a little bit first before we can talk about the future, synthetic fibers.
Mm-hmm.
Like what are the future synthetic fibers that we are going to, that we can't conceive of now or that we're just starting to conceive of now? what are they going to be? What are they going to be based out of? What are they going to be made from? You know, what you know, because what a revelation and revolution polyester was.
No kidding,
right? When really it came out,
changed.
It was a big things. Deal. It reduced price. You could do more production. Like you could do many different fabric types with the same fiber type. You know, it was pretty crazy.
And before you look at like the end product of a garment, polyester has solved tons of problems.
Yeah.
It was cheap. It was easy to manufacture. It worked for tons of different kinds of garments.
Yeah.
You could make it, you could knit it, you could weave it, you could do all this cool shit with it. But now it's like, oh, maybe it's not as good as we thought it would be.
Yeah, when we're mass producing a bunch of plastic clothes that won't biodegrade.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see, you know, and you think of, well, even things like athletic wear now, like wicking fabrics, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing that keeps you cool. Back in the day, you only had cotton and wool.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you had linen. You probably had linen. Yeah.
I don't know how much you work out in. Mind you, people didn't work out
back then too. No, you probably didn't work out in linen.
But like when you would go skiing, when you go skiing in the 1800s.
Oh no, you're wearing wool. You're wearing
head fur, darling. You're wearing fur.
Of course.
And you got some uncomfortable leather boots.
Let's keep it real. Poor people weren't going skiing.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
True.
But poor people were looking for gold.
And they were definitely wearing fur.
And settling.
Yeah.
And exploring the world.
En masse.
Yes. So. I'm not talking about white people, obviously.
I mean, fashion history is told by the winners, and white fashion history is told by the winners as well.
Yes. But, so just to think, like, even, yeah, athletic wear, and like how, I was thinking about this today, an ad came up, compression socks.
Yeah.
Who thought of that?
And that's an advancement now, and that is a key part of many athletes and lay people of their...
And folks with diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it came as a medical thing, but they also realized there's other applications for it, for runners, for other exercise things and stuff. I wore them when I was pregnant because it was a thing.
I've worn them
when I'm running. And you have the arm ones too, armbands, compression armbands.
I've worn them for traveling on a flight, like long distance.
So
flight.
Your feet don't go crazy. But that is a crazy technological advancement to create a knit that holds its shape and holds you in and whatever, like, and keeps you.
And still allows you to move.
And still allows you to be comfortable and breathable and yada, 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 yada.
I think that's really cool.
So what could that be too? Like, there's knitting and weaving and there's many variations of that. But what is the new?
Well, I think this sort of leads into something that I have been thinking about since we started talking about this subject, that I've been thinking about as a potential that, I mean, full disclosure, I have not done tons of research on this, and please let us know if there's something that I've missed on this. But where is the you know, athletic undergarment or, you know, singlet or, you know, for lack of a better word, long john or whatever that monitors your heart rate or monitors your insulin levels as a medical. Like, where are the medically important kind of garments that you can use to regulate your body temperature or regulate your, maybe you're trying to get pregnant so you can wear a garment that regulates your ovulation levels. Maybe
sure, and that's temperature and hormone and a bunch
hormones,
of different things,
all that kind of stuff. Maybe there's a garment that you can put on that will, instead of pricking a needle, it will test your insulin level so you know when you need an injection.
Sure.
Maybe there's, you know, something along the way that says, like, your heart rate is getting too high and you know, your anxiety level, like, whatever it is. Well, I mean, your sweating level, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, where does that go?
Things that, like, what dogs can tell, like, before you have a seizure, before you have a stroke, before you have some sort of health crisis that assistance animals are be able to find from smell, from temperature, from whatever cues they can take on, and you know your migraine's coming or whatever. What can your garment do, and what is that garment going to like? It's not going to be a garment with a bunch of wires in it and a big clunky like armband with like fucking buttons on it.
Yeah, it's not going to be like some fucking like Spy Kid shit.
No.
Or is it?
Or is it going to be
a long sleeve thing that's the first step of learning where you are in. You know, a kid who gets seizures, and figuring out that this kid is going to have a seizure and he needs to be, you know, get
more advanced
juice
notice,
or like whatever it is, like
you can have
that kind of predictive kind of thing that other advancements in other areas have been able to sort of capture and capitalize on. Like, where is that happening in fashion? Because I think often fashion is sort of on its own planet.
Outside
like,
of it all, yeah.
Ooh, we made it light up. How beautiful and amazing for this red carpet event. It's like, well, cool.
Yeah.
But is it going to help my kid when that kid is having a seizure? Let's solve that problem because
let me know an hour in advance.
In an hour, yeah. If we can figure out how it's going to ease my kid or myself or my
whatever.
Mom or whoever from this.
Your patient, if you're medical, whatever, right?
Yeah, this medical condition. Medicine and fashion have never... I feel like there's a great potential for those two things to cross
barely.
Paths.
Compression socks.
Compression socks is maybe. Yeah. And like wicking and that kind of athletic technology.
It might have something to do with the fact that people in the academy look at fashion as something that is for the unintelligent. And it kind of creates a barrier between the minds in medicine and technology and the minds in fashion.
Well, here's hoping.
It's either art
people...
or it's frivolous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping. I bet somebody's doing this somewhere. And the fact, I mean, again, looking back and trying to guess future trends from what has happened in the past, I forget the words and the numbers of this, but I kind of, it's like I forget the name of the theory, but it's about CPUs and how they like, every 18 months, they can reduce them by half, like size. So that's why computers started out being super big and get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And now we have iPhones.
Right.
Yeah.
And this will get smaller and thinner.
Right.
And more complex.
And
more complex,
in a,
but
whatever.
Smaller. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the cameras are getting smaller, but better.
So like that crazy James Bond technology in the 1960s of having a camera and your wristwatch is actually a real possibility.
But also, that will seem clunky compared to what we even have now, which is a tiny pinhead camera that you can put on things. You barely, like the size of a tiny button, and it's flat, and it looks like a button. It's not like, oh, you look closer, and like, oh, that's a fucking lens.
You could literally make a camera in one of your buttons on one of your shirts.
Yeah. So if they can, just think of what that sort of advancements have. And I know one of the big areas of overlap between these medical things and fashion is like Olympic athletes because they have the money.
Right. Yeah.
They have the resources.
And they have the attention.
And there's the attention and the interest, right?
And they're all stunningly gorgeous.
That doesn't hurt.
That doesn't hurt.
And backed.
They're marketable.
Absolutely. Actual medical professionals who are actually doing medical research, nobody gives a flying fuck about them. Nobody's giving them any extra money or extra opportunity or whatever. Elon Musk is not getting the cover of Time magazine because he's helping out, you know, MS research or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's helping out fucking Michael Phelps. Or I'm totally pulling names out of a hat.
Right, yeah.
He's helping Michael Phelps develop new fucking swim shorts or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like that's, so if we could, and that's like monitoring heart rate, that sort of thing. Like it's not necessarily medical. I don't want to use the wrong word, like medical problems or medical conditions, I guess, where it's just performance,
right?
But those,
oh, because it's
are
all about,
transferable.
It's all about the American dream, and it's all about putting America
and perfection
into the world
and physical
and
perfection and strength and performance and superiority and that
it's
sort
not like
of thing,
of
right?
Americans are dying, from
and the Russians are doing it too,
diseases.
And like you know, like everybody's doing it. The Chinese are doing it. Like everybody's doing it now. Their own fucking secret weird ass labs where they're peeing in cups and putting in holes in fucking.
I mean, who knows what
fridges and anyway. Yeah. I've been watching some Lance Armstrong and like doping documentaries recently. So there's some crazy shit happening.
All that shit with the Russian Olympic team. Where,
yes, like, everybody was banned.
Everyone was banned, yeah.
And just imagine all the other shit that they're doing, hooking them up to machines, wearing special clothes, monitoring every single temperature increase or muscle contraction or whatever. Those all have medical and social applications that just haven't really been explored yet, right? Because they're so expensive and they're so advanced that only the people who are working at that such a high level have access to.
And who knows what kind of James Bond shit is going on behind the scenes? We don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, we don't know.
Russia's got some crazy shit going on. Russia's going to find me, and I'm talking about Russia a lot, and they're going to find me because they're totally spying on us.
But, I mean, that's valid.
I'm not wrong.
You know you're not wrong.
In the age of surveillance, like, who knows what kind of shit that you can just pop on a spy's buttonhole and fucking have a time. Like, who knows where you can go?
Oh, there is.
Get some Russian hookers and have a pee party.
I mean, you got to. You got to.
Just, you know, speaking in hypotheticals.
Yeah.
We're not naming any names in particular.
The outfits, the gorgeous outfits that spies are wearing across the world right now.
For sure.
Who's dressing a spy these days? Like, what's a spy brand?
I don't know if you've heard, but Jessica Chastain just got a bunch of funding for a movie. It's her, Jessica Chastain, Lupita Nyong'o, Fan Bing Bing. Fuck, I'm totally gonna mess up her name. It's like any a bunch of like super fucking rad international ladies who are gonna do like a woman spy movie, and they just got a backing
screech
of Cannes. It's like it's called like 355 or something. Anyway,
yes, went to 1,000.
The costumes in that are going to be outstanding.
Seven. What is the woman's name? Is it M? Who is it? M is like the mother.
Yeah,
she's like the mother hen. Is it Q who does all the technology stuff? Yeah, yes. Okay.
We need a lady Q.
Yeah, Lady Q. Yeah.
But these are all like extreme
examples.
There's
a Lady
examples.
Q in Black Panther.
Yes.
The sister in Black
Panther.
She's
fucking dope as shit. She's the coolest character in that whole movie.
She's so great. She's my favorite.
Oh, she's so rad. But that, like, I want to see like a practical, this is my future forecast, a practical application of medicine plus technology plus fashion in a meaningful,
useful,
life-changing way.
Like maybe
not for fun, not because it's cool.
No,
whatever.
Eye watch.
Maybe it's reducing migraines. Maybe it's predicting seizures. Maybe it's monitoring your insulin levels. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's
fertility shit or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it's any number of things that I don't know because I'm not a fucking doctor
or an engineer.
Like maybe it's something cool that I never even thought about.
Or a fabric that like repels UV rays.
Well, that for sure.
Does it exist?
That exists because like kids' bathing suits have it.
I know shit about kids.
I'm sure they must do it for grown-ups too, because I know like when I buy the girls' bathing suits, they're like 50 SPF.
Oh, really?
Because like the rash guards and stuff, like the full long sleeves.
Oh.
Like they have SPF in them.
Adults just don't have to worry about that because we choose not to.
Exactly. Yeah.
We just forget to put sunscreen on.
Yeah. We don't
have to. My skin's been a little warm for like the last few days, so.
Yeah. Oh, man. What do you wish for fashion in the future?
What do I wish?
I should just say, part of my sort of research on this was this great article on highsnobiety.com. So check that out because there's some cool. We'll link it on the old website blog.
I wish,
but
that,
there's some cool ideas of what we can do in there.
Medicinally.
Helpful, or however you want to phrase it.
Sure.
Fabrics is not on that list. But
I want us to be not as dependent on synthetic fibers. I want there to be synthetic fibers that are created that
better
are either recycled or they don't take petrochemicals that are not reliant on oil.
Yeah,
and
like all polyesters.
It'd polyester be great is to made find, out of petrochemicals.
Yeah, like a
and it's a carcinogen.
A stretch, like some kind of a stretch.
And it's not a spandex or
material,
whatever, right?
That is like rubber based or some kind of either like you say recycled from existing
all the thousands and thousands of
shit that already exists
of millions
in
of
the
pounds.
On the world.
Yeah,
existing spandex or
and
plastic, whatever, or a natural substitute like rubber.
Mm-hmm.
That would be,
or some weird like synthetic rubber-ish thing, but that's like not shitty.
Yeah.
That's like not killing the people who make it.
They use rubber as a jumping off point and can create some sort of facsimile of it in a laboratory.
Like there's this fabric called Cupro, which is
that name.
It's a cellulose fiber. I just looked it up. I just saw it in a really interesting fabric the other day. When I went to one of my suppliers, it says it's a regenerated cellulose fiber derived from cotton linter.
Okay, so cellulose is a plant-based.
Yeah, so it's a plant-based fiber. It's like an ultra-fine, silky fiber that sticks to the seeds of cotton plant after it's been ginned.
Huh.
So it's it's a part of
it's like a weird byproduct.
It's a byproduct of the cotton
production
industry.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah,
and they've somehow managed to.
Yeah, well, it's dissolved in a solution of ammonia and copper oxide. I don't know how.
That's not great. Probably. Yeah, probably not great.
But the texture is similar to rayon, and it breathes and regulates body temperature like cotton.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. And like, and most of its uses are in like silk like garments.
Sure. Something's drapey and soft.
Something that you'd use like,
sure,
like a dress, like a faux silk chemise, yeah, or whatever. You'd use, well, cupro.
To, like, underwear on that point, lingerie, like, yeah, rayon is a relatively new fabric as, mm-hmm, far as fabrics go. It's newer than polyester.
Yep.
And that's a cellulose-based fabric that is extremely prevalent now these days. I mean, I think it took a while to get to where it is right now, and yeah, it's certainly not as eco-friendly as we would like.
And it's not ideal for all purposes either.
No, and it takes, you know, you a lot of chemicals dry clean it and shit like that. But that kind of an advancement for, you know, an everyday garment that is...
Yeah. Look at something like modal and tencel.
Yeah.
That's just, like,
yeah,
you know, that combined with bamboo is a real advancement in combining more natural... And something like bamboo that's... Or like hemp. Get, yeah, shit together, earth with hemp. Christ.
Hemp should be...
So renewable. And bamboo is the same. Like, bamboo grows so fast.
Yeah.
So much. Just like hemp. It grows like crazy. You can produce so much more with so much less water, so much less space it takes up.
I think hemp even uses fewer water and chemicals than bamboo.
Yeah.
Guys, get your shit together.
And the variety,
cannabis.
I mean, bamboo, I don't know if... I've only ever really seen bamboo knits.
Yeah.
Like, do they do woven?
I've seen bamboo linens before.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen, like, bamboo sheets.
Because I know tencel, yeah, you can do, like, I've seen knits and I've seen, like, gauzes and, like, wovens, too, out of like, tencel.
Like
and
a Georgette type fabric.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Well, Georgette, not Georgette. Georgette-ish.
Yeah, there you,
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. That'd be nice. Be more...
Actually, I'm quite curious. In Canada, cannabis is being legalized in the next, hopefully, a couple of months, if we can all
if
get
not
a
next year
together.
To keep teasing us with it.
So I'm curious.
They'll do it right before or directly after the election.
The next election, yeah.
So I'm quite curious about how that will affect the hemp industry. Because...
Yeah, has it affected in this? I guess it's not.
I don't know.
It was,
because it's not
going to
be in the same place, I don't think.
And it's a federal thing here in Canada. The whole, yep, country will have this legalized marijuana, whereas in the States, it's on a state level.
Because hemp isn't... Right? Amazing commodity as a fiber, as a fabric. I mean, there's so much more good from hemp than there is, even if you don't smoke weed.
And they're not the same plant.
They are not the same plant. When you smoke weed, you're not smoking
a
t-shirt.
It's not making a t-shirt.
It's not
out
the
of.
Same thing.
Yeah. Or rope or whatever. Or whatever industrial purposes you want to make for it as well. Because that's the thing. It makes really nice clothes, but it also is like super robust and very strong.
I'm quite curious about how that might
potential
change.
For that is going to go.
Because if that changes,
everybody's
and if that
kind of
makes it more affordable, then the potential for that commodity to grow and become
and take
a,
over and become a huge market share
a common thing would be great. It's totally versatile. It's totally biodegradable in lots of weight. Like, it's... Yeah. I'm quite...
No one's been talking about that just here locally in Canada. Everyone's been focused about... The weed smoking, the ganja. I know, I haven't heard, but
I'm really
about that.
I've had
about what this
little
is going to mean for them. Yeah.
For textiles?
For potential or other applications, right?
Because I'm thinking of like this, a little project that I'm trying to put together.
They
like,
it would be like a byproduct of the industry. So if the government is just going to throw all that in the trash or whatever, whoever is going to be regulating this, like, I'm sure like people who are going to be jumping into this business will have been in this business somewhere else before, and maybe
in some fashion,
in some sort of, and maybe not, which is a whole other contentious topic in regards to this.
A bunch of white people all of a sudden make money off weed. Black and Native people or whatever, colored people have been penalized and criminalized for
thrown in jail
centuries.
For having a little bag of weed. That's really interesting. Is it going to like replace the cotton industry?
I doubt it, but
people are real attached to cotton.
It'll be
interesting to see.
Like, maybe it'll grow to be something similar.
Here's hope, yeah.
Because it's sort, it's like, on one side, it's quite comparable to linen. And on another side, it's quite comparable to cotton in the way it's used.
It's a little bit of both.
But I think I truly don't know. If this legalization of cannabis, sort of opens things up for the textile side of things. Canada is in a really cool position to turn this into a really cool commodity. Mm-hmm. And I fucking hope it happens.
We could do a really good job with that up here.
We could do a really good job. We're real good at growing weed.
Yeah. Real good at it.
Real good at it.
Crying, you know? Shame that the Canadian fashion industry usually has our heads in each other's asses.
Boo.
Well, I'm hoping that, I mean, we've talked about this before, but how the fashion industry and the fabric industry are often not very connected.
They run parallel to each other.
So yeah. I'm hoping that this is more of a textile thing that
industry,
people,
engineering,
yeah,
agriculture,
yes,
side of it,
the
right?
Farming, as opposed to manufacturing side of things. So I'm hoping that that side of things can kind of, I mean, if the potential is there, I'm sure.
And they can iron out
it.
The kinks and offer a variety of products and then get the interest and
I have
but
a,
having
yeah.
a, like
forge a, relationships with fashion people.
A Canadian
or garment
grown,
apparel people.
Or even a Canadian based American or you know, U.S., Carolina, like wherever it is that they grow hemp now in the States where they can legally
sure.
turn into textiles.
Whatever exemptions they've...
Or in whatever country it is that they make it. I don't really know because it's so tied up with this drug thing.
Legal shit, yeah.
But if Canada can capitalize on this being a legal and a valuable commodity, I am 100% on board. It's a fantastic fabric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It lasts a really long time.
Well, we just
time.
Need, like,
it's
you know, like they
spot.
Have the
and
Walmart
can,
and they got
yeah.
the U.S. Cotton
yes.
Organization. Like, you need a hemp.
If that can be a Canadian
body
commodity
or something yeah. to push it
absolutely.
And market it and fund it and, you know, or get funding for and, you know.
That would be a dream come true.
I mean, where to go? It'd
be great. I mean, why not? There's got to be people out there who are like, yeah, we'll make money off of this.
Yeah, sign me up.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Just a shame that most of those people are trying to make money off of a dying oil industry.
I think it's the opposite end of that
really?
Spectrum.
You think? I think we'll be very surprised at who is going to be jumping the oil ship into the weed ship.
Yeah.
Or have
interesting.
Or having their hands in both pots.
I don't know, man. Those higher ups. So I think that higher up mentality is.
I don't know.
I don't know. The world is changing. If there's money to be made.
And situations are getting dire.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. No, yeah, probably
the people
right.
At the
people
the people at
with
the top
principles
will, yeah.
and opinions can be swayed.
Like, right, you're
with money or
like,
desperation or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
The people down the ladder a little bit are open in the weed shops. The people higher up are going to be looking at other alternatives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right
investments.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, man. Well, I was thinking what I would like for the future of fashion, and it has maybe, it's a combination of clothing, but also, and this is where my like sci-fi side shows up, like biological enhancements.
Ooh. Okay, go on.
Can work together.
How's
or
that?
That line will be blurred. Where I read this series of books many years ago by this man named Ray Kurzweil, and he it's like the age of spiritual machines, the age of intelligent machines. And there was one other one. There was a third one. And he does these amazing books. They're super interesting for a layperson. I don't know shit about shit when it comes to like bioengineering and robotics and AI and stuff. But I'm super interested in it. And I love sci-fi. And he uses things that already exist and then predicts the future.
Okay.
This is where I learned about this like CPU stuff and planned obsolescence and things getting smaller and more advanced.
Right.
This whole thing. And he talks about how we're one day going to have eyeball implants and we're already getting the little chips in our hand that opens our front door, that sort of thing. So I'm wondering what the future will look like with the combination of your clothing and also whatever biological enhancements that you've had. And we're all going to be cyborgs in the future to some extent. We're already kind of cyborgs with like fake hearts and hips and things already, right?
Right.
If you really boil it down. But just like purely functioning in the world, paying for things, going places, medical records, like all these things where you don't need a wallet. You don't need a bunch of cards. You don't need to access a database with a thumb drive or whatever, or fucking passwords. You don't need to yeah. remember all these mm-hmm. passwords or all these different accounts. You will have something in your clothes. You will have a chip or some sort of, who knows? Maybe it won't even be a chip. Maybe we'll move past chips and it'll be in the fucking cloud. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe it'll be just a tag you put on your keychain.
Yeah, exactly. Or
that's
every shirt you have has
yeah,
one of
yeah.
the buttons is a whatever. And you walk into a building. And we talked about this when we were talking about the future of maybe retail and stuff. I forget where you walk into a store and
facial recognition
and then says, hey, Abby, you like those jeans you bought last time. They come in a new color now. But you walk into your work or a museum or a hospital or whatever, and it recognizes you through sensors. Now, it also gets really scary because then it all has about data collection and, you know, that sort of thing. And it gets dicey and who's keeping it, what you allow them access to, for how much you get out of it. Like, you know, will you have a say in how much information you are giving to these people, to your boss, to your family members, to the amusement park?
Right.
What, you know, wherever you're going to go.
There's a thing on the, that high snobiety. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong.
That's how I say it.
Oh, I say
okay.
It, yeah.
That's what I'm saying
that article.
Okay, good.
I'm
me too.
Anyway, there's a thing about that in that article, and it's about, it's the same idea of having that kind of information stored somewhere, but it's, of course, it's about buying. It's a retail situation.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, how are you going to pay for things?
So it's about going into a retail store. Say you're going into an H&M.
Well, they got these Amazon stores now where you just walk in and out.
And you just walk in and out.
You don't have to scan anything.
So then,
let alone pay for it.
Yes. So, and they just take the money out of your account, which brings up this whole crazy data thing.
And yada, yada, yada.
You're just going to give them
all your
banking information just on a chip, like it
and seems your social insurance number or what? Like, I don't know.
Like, if you just have a shirt, like all of your information is in a shirt. Say you
and
bring
maybe
your shirt to the laundromat, and someone steals your shirt from the dryer, and they can just go and spend thousands of dollars. Like, I mean,
but maybe it's linked kind of to a chip that's in your body, and when you put your shirt on, they're activated.
Ugh.
Or something, because there's like a weird, like,
no, too spooky,
weird Abby electromagnetic shit.
Too spooky.
I also just watched the new Blade Runner, so I'm all like future-y. It was very good. It was very long, and there was a lot of silent, non-talking moments, but it was fantastic.
I've heard good things about them.
Yes. I also am a very big fan of the original Blade Runner, which is very divisive.
Oh, really?
Very mixed reviews.
Ah.
But anyway, so I've been real thinking real future-y in the last.
Yeah.
I watched it.
It's
last night? Two nights ago.
It's weird.
It was so good.
It's weird to think about.
But
the
yeah.
other thing I think that would be kind of cool, like future-wise, if we're looking at future, is things that like more adaptable kind of clothing, especially for kids, where you right now, you buy a thing for your kid who's
constantly buying more shit that they
need.
Old,
yeah. And 3 months from now, they outgrow and you buy a new one. And then 3 months from then, you buy a new one and they outgrow it. So like, if there is something that there's like a growable or an adaptable kind of fabric or garment or something.
Yeah.
Where you buy, you know, 5 or 10 of them.
You just do a Back to the Future 2 where you like it's a giant jacket and then it goes.
Yes.
And it sucks into your size.
That.
You pull the Marty McFly.
Exactly. Exactly. The fit, where fit becomes less of an issue, where from a buying perspective and from a selling perspective, if you're the person making it and selling it, you can
There's
sell
no
this one thing to everyone
There's
and
no
it
sizes.
Will work.
There is just the thing.
The thing.
And then you are size Katie. And yeah. I am size Abby. And you are size Evan.
Which sounds spooky, but I don't think it's
that far. And it changes with your body as you age.
Yes.
Yeah. My size Abby is not the size Abby I was 5 years ago. It's not the size Abby I was 2 years ago.
Same
and hopefully
size Katie.
Size I'm going to be in 2 years.
Yeah. But I wonder how, like,
so that's
I'm sure people are paying attention on that. The
and
only
kids,
thing that makes
kids
me think,
do have the kids stuff does have mine like adjustable waistbands or like.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, oh, we cut the sleeves long, so when they're little, you fold them up, and then when they grow, you unfold them. Like,
but the thing I think that
that's
it
not
is,
like technological advancements. That's just making the sleeves
it's like
long.
Extra fabric.
Yeah, exactly. They're just cutting the sleeves long.
And the thing I think would hang up that kind of development is that the people who are producing it, excuse me, want to sell more. So why would they make a thing
they have
that
no
only
motivation?
Have to buy one?
Yeah.
But then people, it was like, people said, my friend Madeline or somebody else was shade us about Columbia that has a kid's thing. Maybe they just have, I think they have a combination of designing things that can grow with your kid and also having a policy in place where they take your clothes back if your kid has outgrown it within a certain time.
Oh, really?
And then you
That's
can say,
cool.
Hey, I spent 80 bucks, whatever, $150 on these jackets because they're not cheap.
Yeah.
Columbia's not, you know, bargain basement stuff. And it's, she only wore it for half a season and now the sleeves are too short. You can take it back. Maybe it's Patagonia. It's one of those big brands.
I was
going to
say,
like,
I would be surprised
brands.
if it was Columbia, I'd be like, wow, props to Columbia, because I don't think they're
it
that
might
cool.
Be, it might be Patagonia.
If it's Patagonia.
Or North Face or something, one of those more forward-thinking, progressive brands that tells you, hey, if your kid's grown out of it, and with and again, with data collection, and they know when you bought the jacket, because they have all your information, they can see that you only bought it in September, and it's Christmas, and your kid can't wear it anymore.
Bye, Evan Deschamps, we don't keep shit.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's truly just potential right now.
Yeah.
There's only up to
and
go.
Exactly. And trying to see potentials for improvement, because we have had a multiple lifetimes of potentials for fucking it up.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of shit's gone wrong in the last 100 years or more.
Right, maybe.
So maybe all the movements we can make will be forward.
Yes, let's hope so.
And not backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. It's what I call.
So trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
Good feeling.
Let's do it. And look good.
Slay.
You guys. Let's take a break.
I think we're
let's
good.
Take a minute because we're.
I'm out of ideas. So it's up a good again. Place to stop.
It's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick min and put a pin and come back.
And we'll obsess.
We are back. Yes, back. It's happening.
We're back. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, so we're back now.
Yeah, and we can talk about obsessions.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
You guys, so long ago, I fell in love with the couch.
Oh, the couch!
Cast your mind back, December 2017. I fell in love with the couch. It's on a website called article.com. You probably heard of it. If you like podcasts, you probably heard of it.
If you have an Instagram feed, you've probably been scrolling by.
You've probably been seeing it. They do ads. I used one of their coupons from an ad, and I got free shipping, and I am sorry. You guys, this couch has, let me paint you a picture. I live in a one-bedroom apartment that I love with my husband, who I love. Husband brought with him to our one-bedroom apartment a horrific black, quote-unquote, leather. It's not leather. Couch that was previously in the rat-infested boys' clubhouse that they call the house that he used to live in in East Vancouver. No shade on East Vancouver. Love ya. This
but
house,
that space
though,
in particular.
I mean, this house. Time to go. Before it lived at that house for the 10 years that it was at that house, it lived, I think, in, it was either a green room or it was like a studio space for Theory of a Dead Man.
Oh my God.
Did you exercise the couch before you brought it into your space?
Oh boy.
Did you call a priest?
Don't put a black light on it.
A priest? A priest? A rabbi? Like,
don't think I want.
Anyway.
I mean.
It's gone.
This couch,
it's gone.
It's out my life. Ever! I've replaced it with this beautiful mid-century modern style gray linen. Beautiful. It's really long. It's long enough for my 6'1" husband to like lay out and have a nap on, which has never happened.
That doesn't happen. Yeah.
It is all the cushions are removable. You can clean them. You can vacuum it. You can build a little fort if you want to. It is not a pullout bed. Thank Christ.
It's just black a couch. It's just a real nice couch.
Just a real nice couch. This black house was a pullout bed. So it was like, oh, we can have guests over.
I'd rather not.
You don't want to sleep on this bed.
Not when Theory of a Dead Man. Ooh, I'm not even going to finish that sentence.
Guys, it was really bad.
This
couch has gone to a much better place. It has gone to the studio of a photographer who's a great friend of mine who does erotica photography. Godspeed, black couch.
All the best.
You are out of my life.
Home. Yes.
You are in a better place.
A more appropriate place.
Finally, I have a piece of adult furniture for the first time in my life. It is so well made.
It's not from IKEA.
It's not from IKEA. It's
not
real
from your
wood.
Mom's basement. Or your friend's mom's basement.
Soft and comfortable. Was expensive, but not wildly expensive.
Yes.
Article is the coolest company. I think it's Vancouver based. There's a big
huge office here.
Mm-hmm.
They were so helpful on their, because this is a thing where you order a thing online. There's no go and sit on a couch.
Yeah.
You just order online. So I was like hella skeptical.
Yeah.
I put out a thing on Facebook that was like, hey bitches, anybody order a thing from Article? Because
I need some feedback.
Yeah. And one of my best friends, Julie, she bought a couch or two from there and she's like, we've had the best experience with them. They're comfortable. totally affordable. Delivery was a breeze. Like, we highly recommend. And I was like, okay. They have tons and tons of reviews for each item on their website. So that was really helpful. But their customer service is like a chat. They have like a chat option.
Oh, there's a little window
pops
up. Like
an MSN Messenger style chat, which is the fucking best. You don't have to get on a phone with a person.
Or email and wait who knows how long.
You just chit chat. They save the conversation. They'll email it to you if you want. So my questions were like, coming from the States, what kind of taxes and duties are going to be charged? And they're like, oh, none. It's in the price of the couch. And I was like,
what?
Like, anything coming from the States, if you're in Canada, I mean, forget it. It's 20%. Count on it. But they figured that shit out. I don't know how. I don't care.
It's beautiful.
That was done.
Beautiful.
They had a $50, I think it was $49 delivery charge where they'll deliver it to your house, basically anywhere in like the mainland of North America.
Mm.
So we paid $50 for them to ship it across the border to our house. If you want to pay extra, they'll like bring it up and set it up for you. Mm. They brought it up anyways because they're great to... Super smoking hot dudes came and delivered this guy. Like 6 feet tall,
burly.
Handsome, burly, tatted up, both like sleeve tattoos, but not in like a sketchy bikery kind of way, but in like a
angel's way.
Like a sexy kind of
You are a married woman.
Evan might need a new couch.
I mean,
Christ. I can just go to the office. Tattoos, but...
Go to the warehouse, see what happens.
It was so great. It was such a breeze. The only downside about this couch is now I hate every other piece of furniture in my house.
It pales in comparison.
I got to get rid of literally everything else. So I'm like, okay, coffee table, you're first. You're gone.
Yeah.
Desk, forget you. You're done. Yeah. You're an IKEA piece
of garbage. All this particle board, get the fuck out.
You're out of my life forever. At some point, we'll replace, like, we'll get a nice... you know, teak credenza or something.
Yeah, the TV stand or whatever, sure.
But until then, my couch.
Just sit on that couch.
Oh, it's the best, you guys. It's the Timber couch in Pebble, if you are interested.
There you go. If you want to check it out.
I'll put a link up.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Beautiful. So grown up.
I know, I'm a total lady. I'm a fancy
Who
lady.
You had it in you.
Who knew? I didn't know.
Sadie, married lady.
You guys, I'm obsessed. Now fantastic. All I want to do is like redo my whole house. I'm like, well, where can we put this? And like, I have plants now. I've like rearranged my furniture so it's a little bit more open.
Mm, move the art around. Ugh. Get rid of the like posters and stuff that are in IKEA frames.
Yeah, I don't need that IKEA frame. No, give me that nice professional frame bullshit. Yes.
Beautiful.
You guys, I'm a new woman.
Fantastic.
I highly recommend.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yep. Couch time. Best. Yvonne.
Coming from a person with a faux leather couch and is a hanging art with clear thumbtacks, I will give you a song of the summer.
Okay.
From Miss Azalea Banks.
Yes.
Oh, titled Anna Wintour, as in the editrix of Vogue.
The queen.
Anna Wintour. Herself.
I like where this is going.
This is a good song, you guys. I'm gonna play 30 seconds of it. Just the beginning. You just need to hear the first.
Sure.
Oh my god, it's amazing already.
You guys, this sounds like Dance Mix 95.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
It's the perfect, like...
It's 1995.
It's Dance 95.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's C.C. Peniston.
Yeah.
It's very C.C. Peniston. It's very C.C. Peniston meets Janet Jackson meets...
Electric Circus.
Whitney Houston meets Electric Circus.
More R&B. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're 40 seconds.
Yep.
We're gonna
Beautiful.
That's the moment. We're going to get sued for those last 10 seconds that we showed you there. But yes, Anna Wintour.
The only people listening are the Russians. We're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw them.
And I think Azalea Banks is banned in Russia. Who the hell knows?
Probably. She's too sexually charged for Russia. Yeah.
But Miss Azalea Banks has come through with the Song of the Summer for the ladies and the gays.
That's a real
fantastic.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board.
I'll have to get on that.
It's like played on repeat in the studio right now while I work.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So can't wait to
shake your tail feathers.
Shake my tail feather that one this summer.
That's a beach.
It is a beach tune. It's a beach bop.
A beach bop. Good for a drag show.
Cool drink.
I was going to say club
good
banger.
For a drag number. Yeah. she said in a tweet, she's like, I just created the gay song, like the gay wedding song of the summer. Every gay wedding is going to be playing this song.
Oh, for sure.
All summer.
And everybody's going to be dancing.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
No.
It's going to be great.
No, she's absolutely right.
And she just did an interview because she's about to release a new album. And she did this interview on a morning talk show with these two other gentlemen. Are two gentlemen who are just kind of like baiting her the whole time.
Great.
With because like, she's a pretty like...
She's got a mouth on her.
She's got a mouth on her and she's opinions. A pretty like turbulent reputation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put it like that.
Yeah.
But they're just like, oh, so what do you say our intern said to you this morning that you make music for gay people? What do you think about that? And she's like, well... I do.
That's kind of my new.
And then they didn't know what they didn't know. And she's like,
yeah. So, like that would be like a deep cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so sick what's burn. The question?
Yeah. Where's
what's the
where's
question?
Your follow up?
Yeah. That's not a question. What's the rest of your?
Yeah. I make music for people.
Yeah.
Some of them are gay. Who cares?
Yeah. And she and they're like, oh, what do you how do you feel about that? And she's like, well, I make music for myself.
And gay people like it. Then yeah. Whatever, man.
And she's like, yeah, I don't really know what else to say with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on.
Yeah. Next question.
I don't understand the question.
Good for her.
She was like, yes.
Good for her.
Not taking the bait.
Oh, beautiful.
Good one.
Yes, but Anna Wintour, but Miss Azalea Banks. And look out for Fantasy 2. Fantasy as in F-A-N-T-A-S-E-A. Fantasy. Oh, okay. As in Fantasy of the Sea.
Okay.
Part 2.
Okay. That's your new album?
See.
The new album.
Beautiful.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I did there?
Mm. I do now. And a real spell it out there for me, though.
Would you like me to draw a little picture for you?
Of the sea?
Of the sea. Just a picture of waves.
Oh, I get it now.
Oh, it's the sea.
Ooh,
I get
see. It. Oh, all right. Well, we're running a little long, so I'm gonna be a little bit fast with mine.
Yeah,
mine's
quick,
pretty simple.
Abby, come on. Jesus.
Mine is this book that my friend Julie recommended to me, and then I read in less than a week, and I was up until like 1 a.m. every night reading it.
I love when that happens.
And now I'm reading two different books now. One is the new Charlie D'Amers novel, which I've only barely started, which has a lot of potential in it. But then I started reading another one, and I'm like, oh, well, it's not this one. It's not as interesting as the last one.
That's called a book hangover.
Yeah, I totally have a book hanging up, but I think Property Value is the new novel by Charlie D'Amers will bring me out of it.
Oh,
I just need to commit to it and get started because I only read like half the first chapter. Anyway, this book is called Educated, a memoir by a woman named Tara Westover. Fuck, this is like a crazy story and it is 100% true and it's insane. Insane. So crazy. So I was trying to explain it to Dave and I keep trying to talk to people about it and I'm like scaring them. Like it's so crazy.
Like
it
wild
made up.
Like wild storyline or wild
yes.
characters or
wild both? Story, just this lifestyle of this girl. She grew up in Idaho on a farm in the middle of nowhere, like nowhere. And her family, just them, their immediate family of dad, mom. Oh, now I'm forgetting. She has like 5 or 6 siblings in her, or whatever, kids in her family. In this weird fucking like family cult.
Oh, weird.
And I love cult books. I've read Scientology. I've read Mormon. I've read a bunch of other like religious cult books.
Have you watched
Love
Wild
them.
Country?
Yes.
Oh, we'll talk about that another time.
It's a whole other thing. But her dad, they realized later, was like a combination of maybe like bipolar and then like clinical narcissist.
Weird.
But he was like a doomsday prepper.
Oh.
But also like crazy Mormon.
Shit.
So there's like a bunch of Jesus shit, a bunch of religious stuff, but then also end of days. They thought Y2K was going to be it, that they were going to be saved and everyone else was going to hell. The dad ran a junkyard and just recycled shit out of the junkyard because then he could just be in the middle of nowhere and do whatever the fuck he wanted and nobody cared. And nobody could take, you know... tax him or do whatever he wanted or watch him or and all the kids
you can
worked
turn that
in the
into
junkyard.
Whatever crazy shit you want
absolutely
to.
And he did like building contracts here and there but mostly just did junkyard stuff for the longest time, like crushing cars and like repurposing materials and stuff. And the mom was a midwife and has now recently, I think, and she, they're all still alive today. This happened in like the 90s.
What?
Like she's younger than me.
What?
Yeah. And her mom is I haven't looked too much into it. Her mother is like one of the largest purveyors and creators of essential oils because that's her medical knowledge. And that's how you cure people, because the biggest part of their thing is they do not believe in medical systems, knowledge, experience, practices. Because the dad had these crazy, paranoid, conspiracy theory, government, medical, whatever. You don't talk to them. The kids don't go to school. The government will find you. They'll spy on you. They'll do this. They'll do that. They're going to brainwash you. I'm like, even like, you're so fucking brainwashed in this weird family cult, like just eating up what your dad's feeding you because it's all you've known.
Crazy.
I want it. Fucked up stuff happens to them and they don't get medical attention. Like every family member has like a huge medical something happened to them. No spoiler. I'm like, they just got to figure it out. And the mom like makes a salve and like they just live with it.
Here, lavender oil. This will cure your,
a broken leg or whatever. Crushed tibia or whatever, right?
Your crushed tibia. Oh my God.
Just rub some.
Yeah, rub some oil on it. It'll come back.
But the thing is about this book, so it's this fucked up, depressing, crazy, oppressive story. And like she's got this horrible, abusive dynamic with one of her brothers.
Oh no.
You know, it's not, I don't think everything's any sexual stuff, but it's like physical, mental, emotional, verbal abuse, especially from one of her brothers and for sure from her like legitimately like mentally
cuckoo
father.
I think cuckoo is a medical term. He wouldn't know that because
he's mentally ill. He's like undiagnosed, but like clinically diagnosable. Yeah. Clinically he just doesn't see a doctor because he doesn't believe a doctor.
Oh, no.
But anyway, this girl somehow figures out through singing, I think she realizes she can sing, and then her father realizes she has a talent for singing and she sings in church, and then her father becomes very proud of her because she's his property, and now that reflects on him and yada, yada, yada.
Ugh.
And she somehow waylays that into performing and then also getting into school and actually going to
school. Like a normal human school?
Yes. And then she goes to university. She goes to Brigham Young, which is the big Mormon university in Utah or something. Yes. In Salt Lake City.
It's still kind of a cult.
But it's not their family cult. It's not their fucked up family cult. It's Mormon, which is arguably its own
thing.
It
is what it is. Yeah.
Yep. And then she ends up getting this fellowship at Oxford. She studies history. She ends up being insanely talented and so smart. And capable, but she has all this, like, she goes into crazy detail about, like, all of her mental, like, stumbling blocks and, like, her emotional crutches that she's created for. She keeps going back to her family, wanting them to change, and then they keep being the same, and then she makes the same mistakes again and again and again, and then finally she has to just realize she's got to go and live her life, and she moves to England and goes to Oxford and becomes, like, gets her, like, PhD in or something, and, like, now wrote this, not, like, it is...
What's it called? What's it called?
Educated.
Educated.
A memoir. We'll put a link on the website.
I have so many books to read this summer. I'm so excited. I got your book from last time.
Yes,
that's
on my list now.
I'm reading, right now, The Marrow Thieves, which was
So am I.
Are you? Okay, we'll talk later. It's all good. Okay, better get on this
thing.
That's your next book club. Here we go. Sign us up.
So good, so good. Oh my God, you guys.
An official selection of the Fashion Hikes book club.
Yes.
You're going to have a stamp on your novel.
Yes, exactly. Put a little sticker on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll have a dick on it if you're lucky. Maybe not.
Maybe it'll have a little fishing rod.
I was going to make a dick joke earlier about Michael Phelps's.
I was going to make a dick joke about the gay rat king and all your dicks getting tied together, but I thought that was too far. Who am I kidding?
Yes.
It's not your tails, it's your dicks.
It all makes sense.
See, I don't know why we're so precious about it.
There's no wrong answer.
We need to get back into the swing of it. Like, we can't just like we can't be gone for a month and then just throw dick jokes left, right, and center.
Not other people, exactly.
I know, we don't need to censor ourselves now.
Not in this room.
We're in a safe place.
Oh boy,
no one's listening to this.
Just the Russians. Maybe the Chinese. Who knows?
And maybe the CCA or the Canadian intelligence agency.
CSIS. Yes.
That you just saying that just gives me the.
Oh, anyway, they all got our number. They've all got our blood types on file somewhere.
I don't even know my
they have my thumbprint now because it's on come from
on
my
your
iPhone.
Phone. Oh, no, dang
it's on
it.
Our phone. Fuck, we're
oh,
fucked.
Oh, we're super.
We're screwed.
Yeah. Just gotta burn them off. Just stick it on an iron for a while.
Pull out whatever in Seven where he keeps cutting the fingers tips off. So yeah. Can't find his fingers. Anyway, on that guys, note, on referencing
listen,
Seven,
rate, and subscribe on iTunes.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you're still listening, please do that.
And you still got working fingers. You haven't been in some weird family cult and all your fingers are broken off and you haven't seared off all your
fingers on an iron
and some crazy Fight Club bullshit.
Oh, anyway. Oh.
We are at our time where we
yes,
like to keep
find
our time.
Us at all the places.
Yes, we're
email us.
Yeah, we'd love hearing from you guys. We would love to see some reviews. There's nothing that makes us happier than seeing a nice review on iTunes or wherever it is that you get
one star
your
reviews
podcast.
Can suck it. So fuck off with those.
Yeah, if you don't like it, don't listen. No,
yeah. And also don't review.
Yeah. I mean, just
save it.
Why? Just save your time.
Whisper it into a pillow or something. Like nobody cares.
tell your angry
write
neighbor.
It down on a piece of paper and then take that piece of paper and
shove it up your butt. Here you go. Great minds.
Or just don't. I mean, that's fine, too.
That's fine, too.
Don't go
anyway,
too much shovel.
We love you.
But we love fashion more.
And we didn't fuck it up. We didn't.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey.